We can't get caught up with what we see or we don't see, or we'll miss it. And I want to encourage you because I encourage myself. You know, I'm grateful for the relationship I have with the Lord to be able to move into that place just to encourage myself because, like David at Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30, if David had sat there long enough, he'd have felt like the rest of the guys that were with him who wanted to stone him because the town was burned up and everybody was gone. But it says that David got off to himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. And so that's a discipline for me that I've learned to live in. I was sharing with a couple of leaders just this morning how that when we were on Crescentville in 747, I would make sure that I was there early before anybody else got there in that little office that I had there. And I would just put on some music and I would sit in my office and I would just worship God and begin to just talk to the Lord about the service and just have my own special time. And it's the same discipline. I got here today. I was the first one here and I was up in the apartment. My office is being worked on, being redecorated and redone. And I'm sitting in the apartment, I have some worship on, and all of a sudden I'm reflecting on this place that God has allowed me to have with him. Only now I'm sitting in a building that we own. I'm sitting in an apartment in the building that we own on the third floor of the building that's 120,000 square feet. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, you're so good. As I was sitting there, I was reminded of a word that I had received on June 22nd, 2018. This word came to me 2 weeks after we had looked at the property. And I love how God will just you know, take time to remind you of some things to help you stay encouraged. But I was there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the end of this service, this conference, and one of the prophets there just came up to me. Now, when I say the service was over, I mean it was the amen. Folks was gathering up their stuff, and it was like the conference is over, we're going home. And I'm on the front row, and I turn to walk out, and he comes up to me. Right then he says, I have a word that I believe God's given me for you. And so, you know, we've disciplined ourselves in stewarding prophetic words that we get, so we tape them, okay? And this is the word that he spoke to me. Now, keep in mind, this is 2 weeks after having looked at this property. This is 2 weeks after having looked at the property. Not even for sure talked and said anything to anybody about acquiring it. But this is the word that the Lord brought to me. And I'm sharing this with you because here's what I want you to understand, is that in moments, dire moments for you, where you're trying to figure things out and things don't match up, look, set your heart to hear God. Set your heart and mind to hear God. Because you see, if you posture yourself to hear, you will hear. But you ever have a stubborn child that you're trying to talk to, but their attitude is so messed up, they're not hearing a word you're saying? I saw you, Jewel. She kind of... you know, and you can tell on their face they're not listening to what you're saying. Anybody ever, you know, parents know that. We all know, most of us know that. Parents know that. But when you posture yourself and you just are in that place just to hear God, I just need to hear you. I just need to know if this is you. Is it you? Is it me? Is it somebody else? I just need to know. And God, so God has a way, listen, of having somebody come to you that really doesn't know anything other than what God just spoke to them concerning you. So when you hear it, then you will have a sense of, I believe God's talking to me. Now, what this prophet didn't know is prior to him coming up to me, I had already shared with Bishop Garlington, my pastor, about what I felt to be this opportunity while I was there at the conference earlier in the week. So this is the word that came from Ron Campbell on June 22nd, 2018. It says, "So when you were standing out there and I was walking out, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me that there's a treasure to be revealed to you. It's been before you, but you have not had access to it yet because it's not been the right time. But the time is now." Can you believe that in your life that the time is now? I'm offering that to some of you in light of some things that God may be presenting to you, opportunities that have come your way, and you're saying, I wasn't expecting this. But the time is now. And in that treasure, this is what he said, and in that treasure is a jewel. says, and this whole thing is to do with recovery and restoration of the vision that God has given you, because the enemy tried to bring a slight against your vision, tried to bring a discourse against your vision, but God says, I'm restoring things, and what I'm going to do in the process is I'm going to give you this treasure, but also I'm going to give you the other treasures that I promised you previously that the enemy has tried to strip away from you. So I just declare today that whatever the weapon was the enemy used is cut off right now. And when you go back this week, you will see the treasure being revealed, and it will open up and there will be a jewel in the process. And what it is going to take, it is going to take the stress off you and the worry and the fear and the anxiety, because the enemy's been trying to torment you about failure. I break the power of these words against you and release the anointing on your life now in Jesus' name to receive the treasure God has for you in the name of Jesus. So I take that word and I said, thank you very much. I received that word. And one of the things that he did not know when sharing this word, where he says, and there's a treasure, there's a jewel in the treasure, was when we came and looked at this property, we walked this entire property, every floor. Pastor Arnez, who is a realtor, she's the one that pointed it out to me, said this property is available. We met with the owner, we walked on every floor. The last place he brought me to was this auditorium. We stood outside that door and he said this, and here's the crown jewel. And then he opened the door. Now, I had seen this one other time. As a matter of fact, when I saw it, I came through that door into this auditorium. That was a few years ago. That was on the Friday evening. The Saturday morning, my bishop called me, because one of the things that we've learned to do is not only steward the word, but be accountable to the word that we give to one another. And so the word that this prophet gave me, he called Bishop Garlington and told him the same word. Bishop called me the next day and said, what did you think about that word that Ron gave you? I said, I believe it was God. He said, I do too. He said, do you think it has to do with the building? I said, I do. He says, I do too. And that began our journey. And so here we are today. Amen. Now, I hadn't planned to really get into that aspect of sharing, but I know the voice of God and the Spirit of the Lord well enough to know that what I'm saying is resonating with at least one or two of you. But this morning, in the theme of walking confidently, consistently, courageously in kingdom authority, I want to revisit an earlier message. One of the things that God has spoken to me is this. After 40 some years of ministry, but particularly the 23 years as a senior pastor, God has given us a lot of word. He's given us a lot of word. And can I tell you something? You don't need a new word. We just need to walk out the words that he's given us. You don't need a new word. You just need to walk out the word that he's given. So he's beginning to say to me, bring this word back. Teach this word. Rehearse this word. Remind this word. Remind them of this word. And so this morning, I want to talk about breaking the Mephibosheth mindset to receive your inheritance. Breaking the Mephibosheth mindset to receive your inheritance. When I came in today into the auditorium, I felt led of God to come up and join the team and begin to declare some things, only to find out that Pastor Nina, in leading intercession, had prayed the exact same things, declared the exact same things. And one of the things was that there is this breaking of the spirit of lack and poverty off of God's people, off of the hearts and the minds of God's people. Come on, that's a good time to clap. Don't act like you don't necessarily need this word for the person next to you. I believe this is a rhema word for all of us. And so I need us to press into this word together. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. This is David concerning Mephibosheth. Now, I want you to just follow along with me as I share some of these points. It says, one day David asked, is there anyone left of Saul's family? If so, said, I'd like to show some kindness in honor of Jonathan. In honor of Jonathan. Why would he say that? Well, in order to understand that, you got to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting at verse 12 through 23. So if you're taking notes, you want to write that down, 1 Samuel 20, starting at verse 12, and read down. And what you will find is the relationship that David and Jonathan had. Now, Jonathan, the son of Saul. Many of you know the story of Saul and David. David comes to Saul at a young age as a musician, plays. Saul gets delivered from an evil spirit. But over time, Saul begins to hate David. But God gave Jonathan a love for David and David a love for Jonathan. And they established a covenant and a bond that would save David's life later on. Because basically, Jonathan was saying, if I hear of any harm coming to you, I will let you know. And so there was this bond, say covenant. Come on, say covenant. They established a covenant relationship with one another. It says this, it happened that a servant from Saul's household named Ziba was there. Now, what I like about the scriptures or when we read the text, it says it happened. I want you to know in God, nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. It's kind of like, that's a whole nother story to go to in the scriptures, but nothing just happens. But it says there, it happened that a servant was there named Ziba. Says they called him into David's presence. The king asked him, are you Ziba? Yes, sir, he replied. The king asked, is there anyone left from the family of Saul to whom I can show some godly kindness? Ziba told the king, yes, there is Jonathan's son, lame in both feet. Lame in both feet. Now, to understand the context of that statement, you have to go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry flee, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So she's carrying him and she trips and falls and he ends up lame. Just look at somebody and say, I'll walk by myself. Just. She's carrying him. But here's the thing though. She's grabbing him out of fear. Why? Because the way that it went back then, when a king was coming into power, there was the death of every person in the lineage of the previous king so that that individual could not grow up and try to regain the throne. And so she's thinking, I'm going to save him because the whole family, Saul's family, Jonathan's family, everybody's going to be executed. Verse 4 says, David says, where is he? It says this, he's living at the home of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. That word Lodibar, that location, was like a dump heap. It was a waste area. King David didn't lose a minute. He sent and got from the home of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, came before David, he bowed deeply, abasing himself, honoring David. David spoke his name, Mephibosheth. Yes, sir? Don't be frightened, said David. I'd like to do something special for you in memory of your father, Jonathan. I love that. To begin with, I'm returning to you all the properties of your grandfather, Saul. Furthermore, from now on, you'll take all your meals at my table. Come on, just say with me, seated. in heavenly places. Isn't that what the scripture says about you and I? That we are seated in heavenly places. And I'm talking about a paradigm shift, how you see yourself seated in heavenly places. He says, from now on, you will take all your meals at my table. Verse 8, now here's where I want to move into. Shuffling and stammering, not looking him in the eye, Mephibosheth said, who am I that you would pay attention to a stray dog like me? What's happening here? What's happening here is what I believe is happening in the lives of many believers. And that is, we've heard the good news of the redemptive work of God. We've heard the good news of the covenant we have with God. And yet, there's something that's keeping us from being able to experience the more that God has for us as a result of the redemptive work of Christ. You see, what Mephibosheth wasn't recognizing is if David was, one of the things is David did not even entertain what he said. He didn't try to convince him otherwise. Mephibosheth is saying, I'm just like a stray dog. Why would you want to bring me here and let me eat with you? Verse 9 doesn't even show David addressing it at all. It says that David called to Ziba, Saul's right hand, his right hand man, and told him, everything that belongs to Saul and his family, I've handed over to your master's grandson. All in one moment, he went from being impoverished, poor, destitute, to being wealthy. All in one moment. Is it possible that we could see the same thing happen in our lives? Or do we have to work 40 years to get somewhere? Is it possible that God can speak to someone concerning you because of the way in which you've lived your life and the way that you have sown and the way in which you have given, and because God has established a covenant, not necessarily with you, but someone else related to you or someone else in reference to you, that causes him to move on your behalf? Come on, I'm trying to stretch our minds here. I'm trying to get us to think broader now. Because Mephibosheth is about to miss an opportunity. Why? Because he's living out of his self-imposed limitations. He says again, I'm going back to verse 9. He says, I've handed over to your master's grandson. It says, you and your sons and your servants will work his land and bring in the produce, provisions to your master's grandson. Now get this. He's saying, all in this conversation, he's making this decree and says, from now on, you work for this guy. Now, Mephibosheth hasn't seen one blade of grass, one kernel of corn. He hasn't seen anything. And yet, it's all available to him because the king has made it so in that moment. We keep waiting to see rather than just accepting it, seeing it, and saying yes to it, and then waiting for it to arrive or step into the place where you can receive it. Then he says, Mephibosheth himself, your master's grandson. Now get this, you see, what David is doing is he's making the connection. He's making the connection. What is our connection? Christ. Jesus. Amen. That's our connection. Saul keeps making the connection to help him understand. Mephibosheth himself, your master's grandson. from now on will take his meals at my table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And he says, all that my master, the king, has ordered his servant, answered Ziba, your servant will surely do. And Mephibosheth ate at the king's table like one of the royal family. Mephibosheth also had a small son named Micah. All who were part of Ziba's household were now the servants of Mephibosheth. Verse 13, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, taking all his meals at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Breaking the mindset, the Mephibosheth mindset to receive your inheritance. Breaking the Mephibosheth mindset. The Mephibosheth mindset comes out of this place of our own self-imposed limitations. And whether we realize it or not, we go through seasons, if we will, or processes of being delivered from our own self-imposed limitations. It is a process that moves us into greater places of increase and the manifestation of the blessings of God and the covenant of God in our lives. It starts one step at a time, one action at a time, one circumstance at a time. And every time we move forward in what God has for us, he further establishes us in the reality of his kingdom and the covenant that we have. In order to do that, we must continually break through our own self-imposed limitations. Self-imposed limitations, what are they? They are limits that have been set based on the way you think about or see yourself or your surroundings. They are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, once cast down, once pulled down, reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. I have come to recognize over the 63 years of my life that I have continually had to move out of self-imposed limitations. Because in any given moment, I love this. It was Dr. Bill Winston was sharing. I was listening to his teaching last night from his conference last week, and he was saying, whatever God's going to bring to you is going to be bigger than you. You just got to settle that. Whatever God brings to you, you can't do it. That's what he said. God can do it. He says, but you got to be willing to say yes to it. And know that there's faith and grace for you to accomplish it. I have found that over and over, and I'm trying to help as many of us as I can, that we all go through processes of feeling good about where we are, yet God presents something else, and now you deal with some self-imposed limitations. The way you think about yourself, see yourself in light of your surroundings, in light of your upbringing. I will be the first to tell you that I've had to overcome things of my upbringing, how I was treated, how I was talked about, things that were said to me, things that I didn't have that I wanted to have. And the truth be known is that we can find ourselves in that space so that when God reveals to us more, it's hard for us to believe that it's really for you, that it's really for me, that this is something God really wants to bring to me. This self-imposed limitations, they are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, unprepared. Now, I believe that all of us need to be as prepared as we can, Sean. But I want to tell you this. There's the times in which we live, God's not going to wait for you to be prepared. He just wants to know where you go with him. He just wants to know where you say yes. And I want you to also recognize that he will present things to you that will move you out of your, as some would call it, your sweet spot or your comfort zone in order to expand your capacity, the more inside of you that he knows is on the inside of you. You see, if you're going to break the Mephibosheth mindset, you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in the mind. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation. Intimidation, fear, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. God wants you and I to come to a place when we're walking confidently, consistently, courageously in kingdom authority, so you're not dealing with being intimidated by anybody. Yes, sir. You want to walk in that place telling yourself every day by the Spirit of God, I am the beloved of God in whom he is well pleased. Yes. I am the beloved of God in whom he is well pleased. I am the beloved of God in whom he is well pleased. I am the beloved of God in whom he is well pleased. And you start your day like that every day, and it recalibrates anything else that you're going to have to deal with. As you find yourself in situations and you're dealing with sometimes intimidation, fear of failure, fear of rejection, insecurities. Self-imposed limitations, they are thoughts, feelings that once brought down reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. Mephibosheth is dealing with a mindset that's causing him to miss what God is doing for him. You have to recognize this, that self-imposed limitations have the ability to nullify, make of no use or value, cancel out any prophetic word, taught word you receive. And so I'm finding that after years and years, Georgia, of teaching, that some people just aren't getting it. And it has to do with their self-imposed limitations. And it's unfortunate because God would not bring a word to you as if to tease you with it and not be willing to fulfill that word in your life. But what it does mean is when that word comes, whatever processes you and I need to go through in order to receive the word, we need to do it and we need to do it quick. You see, Mephibosheth only had, it's like, okay, wow, this is interesting. Man, this guy called me here, I'm here, and he's telling me all this. He had to be overwhelmed because he's going from being poor to being wealthy in one conversation. And what's interesting about it is he wasn't going to have to work anything. All he had to do was make it to that dining room table and tuck his feet up under that tablecloth and enjoy the meal with the king every day. He said he will take his meals with me. I want to say that's the same way God is speaking to you and I in this season. He's inviting us into a realm that for many of us is just way beyond anything that we could ever think or imagine. But I'm telling you, you got to work past the self-imposed stuff that keeps you from moving forward. It made no sense in the natural to acquire this place. I get that. But I wasn't trying to operate out of the natural. I was trying to operate out of the supernatural. And let me tell you something. Once you hit that altitude, you want to stay there. You deal with the turbulence. You deal with the weather that comes with it. You learn to go a little higher. I love that about when I travel internationally. Every now and then you'll get on a plane. You know how they have the planes with the screen there so you can watch movies. Well, I was on one plane that not only could you click it to watch movies, you could push one button and see outside the plane. Any ever been on one of those? Where you push it, you see what the pilot sees. You push it, you can see down below. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? I mean, but you know what? It was a blessing. Because every time we hit turbulence, I just clicked on that button so I could see what they're seeing. And I could see we were in clouds. So you begin to recognize every time we're in turbulence, it's just the clouds, it's the weather, you know, it's the clouds. Every now and then I'd push so I could look down, see what's going on. Now you're up 35, 40,000. You know, 38,000 feet, so you're not seeing cars or anything like that, but you can see. You could look out and you could see what was coming. Or when it said, you know, seatbelt light come on, fasten up, put your belt, seatbelt on, look out there. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then every now and then, what the pilot would say is, you know, we apologize for this turbulence right now. We are going to ascend to a higher altitude in order to find a more pleasant ride for you. And so it would go up above the clouds. And what was incredible to see, because you know how you can fly and you look out your window, you can see yourself go through the clouds and all of a sudden you come up and you're just right above the clouds and you're in the sun. Everything that God has for you, He's prepared it already. All of this was there for Mephibosheth. He just didn't know it. He wasn't raised in the environment that helped him to know you have an inheritance. It is one of the downfalls in the church, in the body of Christ, and why many struggle with wealth, many struggle with increase, many struggle with believing that you have the right to believe. But I'm here to tell you, you have the right to believe. I need about seven more of y'all just to say amen with the three that just did. Come on, I'm trying to help us because I'm telling you, we are destined to change the culture if we will see ourselves as the change agents we are called to be. But one of the challenges for the church, another thing that Dr. Winston was talking about, he said one of the challenges right now in the church is we have not taught enough kingdom. We've taught everything else. He said, but the only message Jesus taught was kingdom. Not only was it the message he taught before he went to the cross, it's the message he taught after the cross. And the challenge we have that Mephibosheth had is he was raised by those who didn't know who he really was. You and I are brought up in environments where those looking at you really don't know who you are. Every now and then, you might have a parent or an uncle or a grandparent who gets a glimpse. But by and large, many of us, you know, I mean, at best they might call you peculiar. You know, I was one of those peculiar kind of, yeah, he kind of special, you know. They didn't have you wondering what's wrong with yourself. But what they don't know is there's a call, there's a purpose, there's a destiny, there's an assignment. And God knows if we could raise our children with that understanding, we'd have less Mephibosheths walking around and more Davids walking around. See, what we've missed is the reality of Galatians, the chapter 4, where it says, now I say to you as the heir is a child, says, as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ from the slave, although he is owner of everything, owner of everything. Mephibosheth owned all this stuff by way of his grandfather and his father. But the lady that fell on him never told him that story. Matter of fact, she was probably dead and gone. So he's down there living out his life with this low expectation or none at all, only to be found out. When Mephibosheth showed up, he thought David sought after him to kill him. That's what he thought. That's why David says, look, you ain't got to be afraid. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for the sake of your father. And what I'm going to do for you is everything your grandfather had, I'm giving it to you. And all of those servants, they're going to serve you. And I want you to eat with me now. We are in a time that we have to be willing to hear and say, God, I really don't understand it, but I'll say yes to it. Even if you don't feel like you're ready, say yes. My Lord. Even if you're not sure, say yes. Some of you found yourself promoted and you're in a position and you're saying, man, I don't even know how I got here. It's because you said yes. And all you have to do is say yes and God will do the rest. When people are dealing with self-imposed limitations that produces insecurities, listen to this. They struggle with accepting generosity being shown to them as being genuine and sincere. When people are dealing with self-imposed limitations, they struggle with accepting generosity and being shown to them as being genuine and real. Mephibosheth didn't know what to do with it. And often we are, you know, well, why would you do that? I mean, why are you doing this for me? Why, you know, we go into, there's an ulterior motive. There's something going on here that you're not telling me. When in fact, what they're doing is in obedience to God concerning you. But self-imposed limitations, if we're not careful, can cause all of that to be nullified. Self-imposed limitations are strongholds in our minds. Your heart can be stirred by the word, but your mind can keep you from seeing the manifestation of the word. Let me say this again. You and I can sit in service and we're stirred by it. Our hearts are moved by it. We leave out and then all of a sudden our mind starts processing it. And the word that you heard in the moment that you thought for you, now you're feeling like, well, maybe that really wasn't for me, because when I take that word and I place it next to my current situation, I don't know how this could ever fit. Instead of recognizing and believing the word that you just received is a word given to transform your situation. You don't take the word and try to fit it in. You take the word and let it transform. I'm gonna say that again. You don't take the word and try to make it fit in. You take the word and you let it transform. This word doesn't necessarily fit what I see, how I feel right now, but I'm gonna take this word and I'm gonna allow it to change my situation. Change my environment. And so I learned over the years to hear that word. And even though I might not understand it in the moment, couldn't figure out how it fit, I still held on to it. And I'm telling you, I watched that word work to bring me, my family, into the places that God intended for us. Can I get just an amen? Oh my, help me, help you. Transformed by the renewing of the mind. I'm talking about breaking the Mephibosheth mindset. What is that? What is that? What is that? That mindset is one of unworthiness. It's one of distrust, helplessness, hopelessness, fearfulness, small and insignificant. You think that you're small and insignificant because you were not brought up like I just read in Galatians chapter 4, under tutors and governors appointed by the Father until the appointed time, meaning that people around you are able to speak into you, help mold and shape you into who God has called you to be. It's rare that that happens, but it is a responsibility of every parent. It's a God-given responsibility, a God-given right, a God-given privilege to be able to look at your children, be able to see what God has called them to be, and pray into that until that becomes a reality. When God gives you vision concerning a child, it's your responsibility to pray into that. Do all that you can to see that it comes into reality. The challenge with self-imposed limitations is they're not broken by a prophetic word, acts of encouragement, promotion, or even positions. Because God can promote you, move you into a position, but you never move out of that place of that self-imposed limitation. You never see yourself as God sees you. And I want to encourage some of you right now that are still waiting for your breakthrough. See, your breakthrough isn't because God isn't breaking you through. Your breakthrough needs to be in your mind. That breakthrough needs to be with how you see yourself. That breakthrough needs to be you moving yourself out of that place of a poor self-image, low self-esteem. Whenever God brings you and I through something, wherever he brings us into a new place, that's your opportunity to say, God, I thank you for promoting me, bringing me into a new area, and my life will never be the same because of where you've placed me today. That's where I live right now. That's where I choose to live right now. When we signed on the documents and purchased this building, I knew right then things had changed. I'm not talking about having another mortgage or having a building. I'm talking about a place in God. I'm talking about how I see myself and how others will see me as I see myself. You see, you can drive a nice car, live in a big house, still have low self-esteem, still think low of yourself, and everybody will see you just that way. They will see you just that way. But when you walk and your head is held up and you may not have everything that you think you have or you need to have, but you're holding your head up because you know who your source is and you walk in that place, people will respond to you. They will come up to you and they'll just begin to talk to you, not because of who you are, but because who they see in you. I'm talking about the God in you. I'm talking about the God on you. And so Mephibosheth had to make a quick choice. Do I go with what this guy is saying? Well, there really wasn't a choice to make, really, I don't think. I mean, you're gonna listen to David and go right back down to Lodibar? That's like, hey, don't even go get my clothes. Yeah. Just leave everything right where it is. Just go get my son. We good. Everything changed in an instance. That same way of instantaneous transaction, know this, it's the same concerning your salvation. The moment you and I were saved, we were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And everything that comes with the light is yours right now. The moment you became born again, all of that became available. What needs to happen? You need to have a renewed mind. You need to be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And you need to be able to break free of every self-imposed limitation. That mindset of unworthiness, distrust, helplessness, hopelessness, fearfulness, small, and feel insignificant. Going back to Numbers, when the people of God were in the wilderness and they sent the spies in and the spies came back. Remember what they said about the spies? Said they were giants in the land. Said, and we were like grasshoppers. And as we were in our own sight, so we became in their sight. The principle, the way you see yourself, others will see you that way as well. Others will see you that way as well. Manifested in low self-esteem, poor self-image, worry, anxiety, downcast countenance, shame, poverty, lack. The enemy's goal is to keep you and I in a place mentally, emotionally, that we never receive the word and really get it in us that changes us. If the enemy can keep you from receiving the word, he can keep you from living and enjoying your covenant rights. As it was with Mephibosheth, so it is with us. Because you see this, it is the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the execution, and the enforcement of the covenant that breaks the Mephibosheth mindset and conquers your enemies. Every time. Every time. And I want you to be as bold to begin to say, I have a right to be here because I am redeemed. I have a right because I am redeemed. I want you to be as bold to say, I am intended for something more, and I am entitled to something more. Yes. And let me just pause right there, and we're ending out. So team, you all can come on up. I'm like, God help us. Because in this example that I'm sharing with you, what David did for Mephibosheth was show him what was rightfully his, but he was never told it. Once he received that knowledge, it's as if David was saying to him, son, you were intended for something more, and you are entitled to something more. What challenges me in the church are those who would say that kind of thinking is arrogant. That kind of thinking is prideful. That kind of thinking is fleshly. I want to tell you something. That's their self-imposed limitation. Do you hear me? You need to be able to say, I am intended for something more. You need to get okay with saying, I am entitled to something more. Because Jesus gave his life to redeem everything that Adam lost. Jesus gave his life to make right what was stolen. Jesus gave his life to establish a better covenant for you and I. And there are rights you have because of that covenant. And one of those rights that you have is to walk in prosperity, not lack, not poverty, not just getting by. And if this message labels me a prosperity preacher, then so be it. Because I will say to those who would challenge or feel the right to make that statement, I would say, you need to come and talk to me and help me, let me help you understand the reality of the kingdom. Because when Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 6, He said, you're not even supposed to think about your needs being met. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It is in the seeking of the kingdom is the place of increase and abundance. And I don't know about you, but I'm one who's willing to ask the question, if it's not adding up, why is it not adding up? And I'm pretty sure it's not because God is not doing his part. I'm saying, show me. Me, show me what needs to be done. I don't want to stay in a small place of thinking. I don't want to have a Mephibosheth mindset that causes me to wonder, what am I doing here? Week before last, I mentioned I was in Dallas, Texas, in a meeting. I'm sitting in a setting with 40, maybe 50 multimillionaires. Not once did it ever enter my mind, what am I doing here? As I interacted and I talked with different ones, it was never once in my mind, why do they want to talk to me? And I'm sharing for all of us and those of you that are listening. And I'm trying to say it in a way because I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm not emotional about it. I'm intentional about it though. God has intended for wealth to come to those who have proven their ability to steward it. And some of you under the sound of my voice are some of those people. Some of you that are watching are some of those people. But what it may take is like with Mephibosheth. You're going to have to break through those self-imposed limitations. Many live in the space of someone else telling you your worth. They tell you what your hourly rate is. They tell you what you're worth per hour for your service. And I want you to know, hear me now, I'm not speaking down, I'm not speaking low about jobs. But is it possible that the wealth God wants to bring to you is in a different place of your thinking about yourself? I have the expectation that someone's going to hand me a check that pays off this building. I really do have that kind of expectation. I sat in a room of folk who could do it. You're familiar with the principle of so many degrees of separation? You know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, and they're connecting. I want you to stand with me. Once Mephibosheth got past how he thought about himself, he sat right on down and ate that chicken. And whatever else was put before him. He received the land that was given him, the produce that was given him, the workers that were given to him. There's no indication that he ever doubted again. And it says he took all of his meals at the king's table. The Lord is inviting you and I to the table. That table is one of increase. It's one of blessing. It's one of covenant. It's one of prosperity. It's one of resources that allows you and I to accomplish everything and anything that He would want us to do.